In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is, never shall be.
So today we have the leave-taking of the Transfiguration. And if you can picture what occurred here, the gospel story that we read today of the man who brought the boy who'd been having seizures to Christ and basically said, hey, your disciples and apostles tried to cast out this demon and it didn't work. That happened right after Christ came down from Mount Tabor. So what we have is Christ on Mount Tabor with Moses and Elijah and with the three holy disciples, Peter, James, and John, up there on the mount. And then he comes down, and what's the first thing he encounters? Hey, my son has this demon, and I went to your apostles and disciples, and they couldn't do anything about it. And so how does he respond? He responds with what we would look at and call frustration. Remember, when we look at how Christ responds to things, we're looking at him through our human eyes. And so when we see frustration or we see anger or we see any of these things, we shouldn't apply our frustration, our anger, that kind of thing to it, because it's a holy anger. It's a holy frustration. He's frustrated not because he asked them to do something and they failed. He's frustrated because of the lack of faith and what he knows that does for them, in a sense. So anyway, so what he says is this. He says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. His frustration was at the lack of faith. It was at the fact that that generation, that group of people had turned away from God. And it's not like it's something new for him. If we read what they refer to as the scriptures, what we refer to as the Old Testament, it's the story of the people of God again and again and again turning away from God and turning to idols, turning to perverse things, turning to things that are not befitting those who are the children of God. And so that is what he's experiencing here. He's coming down from Mount Tabor, from his revealing of his glory to his closest apostles and disciples so that they might be strengthened when he goes to his cross, so that they might know that he goes voluntarily, and then he comes down to see the rest of them, the other nine, unable to cast out this demon. And so what does he say? He says, this one comes out only by prayer and fasting. You know, when we talk of faith, we think of faith sometimes as kind of this set of beliefs. And faith and belief are two different things. We can believe something but not put our faith in it. There's a lot of things that we believe that we don't put our faith in. And unfortunately, what we have a tendency to do with our faith is we have a tendency, like I said, to make it that belief. And when we make it that idea of belief, it's just in our head. Our faith is just in our head. Our faith is, do I trust God? Do I believe that he's God, Christ is the Son of God the Father, the second person of the Holy Trinity who's come to save the world and me, a sinner, through his death and resurrection? Well, that's not faith. The demons believe that and shudder. The demons know who Christ is. The demons know what he did on Calvary and what he did, on Golgotha and on Calvary. But that's not faith. They obviously don't have faith in Christ. And so here we see the disciples who had been with Christ, and they did not yet understand. We're often hard on the apostles and the disciples, but really, you know, I mean, even being with him and seeing the miracles, it's a little hard to comprehend that the guy that you've hung out with for 3 years is God. I mean, that's kind of a mind blower. And so, you know, we should cut them a little slack. But I can't imagine that they felt very good when he came down and referred to this faithless and perverse generation, knowing that he referred not just to those around them, but specifically to them, because this guy was complaining about their lack of ability to cast out this demon. So what did he say? It comes out by prayer and fasting. Saint Theophan the Recluse said, where there is no prayer and fasting, there the demons have free reign. And it's interesting that he said this because he was writing at a time when it's kind of, a lot of people look at it as the glory years of holy Russia. The great time when, you know, it was the Third Rome and all these things were happening, but yet within a generation, the glory years of holy Russia were to become one of the most atheist, the most God-hating countries, nations on earth in Soviet Russia. And he and many of his contemporaries actually warned about this. They warned about the fact that they could, in a sense, see the writing on the wall. Because faith is not just coming to church on Sunday. Faith is not just saying I'm Orthodox and believing this and that and the other. Our faith is not just in our head. It needs to be in our hearts and in our actions and what we do. Faith is like love. It's a verb. Here in America, we think of love as being some gooey feeling. Well, love is not a gooey feeling. Faith is not a gooey feeling. It's not a thought. It's something that's lived out. And in a sense, we fake it until we can make it. And I'm not saying that we do this in a hypocritical sense, but I'm saying that if you want your faith to increase, do the things that the church has given to you as gifts to grow your faith. We pray, we fast, we partake in the sacraments, especially the sacrament of confession. If you want your faith to grow, come to confession. Come to confession. I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but come to confession. That's how we in our faith, that God grows our faith in us, is through removing those things that keep us from our faith. And so anyway, so what Christ here is saying is basically that the faithless and perverse nation, generation, is a generation that might honor him with his lips, but not in their hearts and not with their lives. And we don't seek to be that faithless and perverse generation, do we? We seek to be those who will stand before the great judgment seat of Christ and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not because we want kudos or anything, but because he loves us so much, that's really the only response that we have, is to be good and faithful servants and to pray and to fast and to do those things that he gives us, not because it's checking off our checklist to be saved, not because it looks good in front of the other people around us, but because that's how we help submit our will to his will so that we can live the way we were designed to be created. That we can live the way we were designed to live, the way that we were created to live, in union and communion with him. And it's through that that we receive the great many gifts that he gives us of joy and of peace and of love for those around us. And in doing so, God willing, are saved and are part of the salvation of those around us, to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.